Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
One of the best testimonies of victory over idol worship found in the Bible is in Daniel chapter 3. Here, God can boast to Satan that his overcomers are willing to die in a blazing furnace of fire rather than worship something other than the true and living God. In this life study of Daniel today, we're going to find out what makes all the difference when we're faced with the fiery situations that at times do occur even in our lifetime. Here to help us enter into chapter 3 of the book of Daniel is Dennis Higashi. Dennis, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Chris. It's always good to be back.
Dennis, we come to this matter of idolatry today. We're seeing it here now in its Old Testament context. But before we get into the message, I think it would be helpful if we could have a word on idolatry as it really applies to us today. Not that many people in our Western civilization are involved in the actual kind of idol worship that we normally think of.
Right. It's correct, Chris. I think the concept today of idol worship is that there's some image in the corner that you bow down to. Actually speaking, it's interesting. In the New Testament, it shows us that in the book of 1 John, a book on the divine fellowship, on the divine anointing, on the divine birth, on so many divine and heavenly things, the Apostle John concludes with, "Little children, guard yourself from idols." Obviously, that is not some image in the corner, but this means anything that distracts us from God, anything that replaces God, can become an idol to us today. And Chris, as we look at our situation today, we can see anything can be made an idol. It means that something that we even unconsciously worship. Mm-hmm. I think if we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we can see some people there. Paul is comparing the fellowship of the demon's table and the demon's cup with the Lord's table and the Lord's cup. What that primarily means is that whatever you eat and drink makes you a fellowshipper or a partaker of whatever that is. And so in today's society, if people partake of many things outside of God, mm-hmm. eventually, subjectively, unconsciously, that can be an idol.
Dennis, that's very helpful, I think, because the tendency when we read these Old Testament stories sometimes is to keep them very detached, but to realize there's an application of idolatry that affects all of us every day. It could be our car, it could be our house, it could be our wife, our job, our new computer. It's almost endless today, isn't it?
It surely is, Chris. And this is what makes it so practical. I enjoy this ministry very much because Brother Lee does make it so applicable to us today.
Hmm. Okay, let's join him now as we really look at the situation in Daniel chapter 3.
Nebuchadnezzar set up a big image. He gathered all his high officials together to have a dedication to his image and worship that. The decree came down that all the people, especially the officials, should bow down to this image and should worship. The Babylonian local people, they were always jealous of Daniel and of his 3 companions. Now the golden time came that these 3 would not worship. These 3 would not worship. My good chance to accuse these 3 Jewish young men before Nebuchadnezzar. And they did it. And Nebuchadnezzar was with rage and fury. He was mad, and his countenance changed in color toward this tree, saying to them, "I give you another chance. You have to bow down. If you don't, I'll throw you all 3 into that furnace, blazing furnace, threatening." Then the 3 companions told Nebuchadnezzar, I like that word.
Well, Dennis, we thought it would be helpful to stop here for a moment and just insert this word in chapter 3, these verses 16 through 18 that Witness Lee likes and he's talking about. I think we'll all like these verses as we read them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, there is no need for us to give you an answer in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the blazing furnace of fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods nor worship the golden image that you have set up. Dennis, I think we all aspire to be able to speak such words in a similar situation.
We surely do, Chris.
Let's go back to Witness Lee.
It's like a fighting word. They were fighting against Nebuchadnezzar. One thing I'd like to point out to you. These three dear companions, yes, they did say a good word. But their word still bears some sign. Their thought was still natural. God doesn't need to deliver them from. God kept them in the fair. And Christ came to make the fair of no effect, to make the fair non-effective. God doesn't need to deliver them out of the fair. God made the fair a pleasant thing for them to dance. We don't need to leave this fair. How pleasant it is, let's dance here. And we have a false party. And that party is the Son of God. You know, we are the same nature. When we have a bothering wife or a troubling husband, God will deliver me from the blazing furnace. The Lord says, I don't like to deliver you out of that. I'll keep you there. How about I make your wife so pleasant to you? How about I make your husband so pleasant to you? And I make your environment just good for dancing, how about? And I will come to be dancing with you. How about this? Do you like it? I surely can testify.
Dennis, do we like to have a furnace to dance in? I don't know that many of us can say we would like to dance in such a furnace, but there is something very full of enlightenment here for our daily experience, which sometimes in our situation seems like fiery trials. Whenever we're faced with such a thing, of course, we want to get out, and that's how we pray, Lord, take me out. But rather, the Lord says, how about I leave you there, and I'll come and join you there. Maybe help our listeners, Dennis, to have this dancing experience in their next fiery trial.
Well, Chris, I don't know if we've ever equated dancing with this story in Daniel chapter 3. I think it's quite interesting that Brother Lee would bring these two together. But when you consider the Christian experience, this can be our experience, that our natural thought is the Lord would deliver us from a difficult environment. But God's thought is that Christ would come in and make that environment a pleasant place, even to the point that we would rejoice and we would express that kind of joy by dancing. I mean, what an amazing point here. I know as children we were all impressed with this story, Chris,
right.
But we never saw this point that the Lord does not deliver us from that environment all the time, but he does come into that environment and makes that environment a pleasant place because it is full of his presence.
In this coming section, he is going to stay on this same line, actually giving us a testimony of his own, an experience of his own, when he was imprisoned for the sake of the Lord's testimony in mainland China at the beginning stages of World War II. Let's join him now. This is a very touching story.
Of course, I didn't have such an environment like the blazing fire, but in my whole life, I was put into prison twice. Both were by the Japanese invading army, Duchenne, and both were by the military police. The first time they put me into that little jail just for one night. I don't have to go. through the details. That was marvelous. The Lord delivered me out of that. The second time, they put me into a proper prison for 1 month and put me into a little room. That is the only place for you. You eat there. You have a restroom there. You do everything there. That was quite a suffering. Now, I still can recall one day I stood up. I wanted to talk to the Lord. I couldn't say that day I saw him. No. No, I touched him. No. But in my deep sensation, he was there. My tears came down. Lord, you know for what I'm here. That might be the good time from his dance. He was present. The prison became so present. The Lord didn't deliver me out of that prison, but he made the prison a present place. I had the peace. Well, anyhow, when the enemy threw you into the blazing furnace, you have to realize you don't need to ask the Lord to deliver you out of that. Amen. The Lord will take care of you, making your suffering a present situation for you to dance to him. And he will come to you to be with you.
Well, Dennis, when Witness Lee tells us that God will make our fiery furnace a pleasant place, this was not just a doctrine or a teaching to him. He really had this experience firsthand, and I'm glad that we were all able to participate in it a little bit as he opened it up to us. Probably, I know I have never been, and I would guess probably you have never been imprisoned literally for the Lord, but maybe there is something you can say about your own experience along this line of having a fiery situation turn to a dancing situation.
Well, Chris, I think my experience probably is falls short in this matter, but I would like to point out Paul's experience, especially in the book of Ephesians. Here he was imprisoned by the Roman government, yet he considered himself as a prisoner in the Lord. That means eventually his imprisonment apparently was through the government there. Actually, he considered that prison a palace. It was made a palace to him. And through that prison environment, Chris, we all know that Paul wrote the marvelous epistles of Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, among others. And so, Chris, this is to me very striking that the Lord does not come in to change the environment all the time. You know, our concept, Chris, I believe, is that when those three young men were thrown into the fire, the Lord would miraculously quench the fire. No, the Lord did not quench the fire. He just came in and joined it. And that became a pleasant place. And one more example of Paul, Chris, that I was thinking about was in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul had a thorn there in his flesh.
Right.
The Lord did not remove it from him, even though Paul prayed earnestly three times. Instead, the Lord came in and said, "My grace is sufficient." This sufficient grace is only experienced when we are in a difficult environment. Without that environment, we cannot experience the Lord's all-sufficient grace. And I believe there's a footnote in this particular verse on chapter 12, verse 9, where Brother Lee says that sufferings and trials are often ordained by the Lord for us that we may experience Christ as grace and power. I think Brother Lee's story of his imprisonment there in China, no doubt the Lord came to him as the all-sufficient grace. And I believe even though we may not be physically in prison, yet today our job, our environment may be a prison to us. Our concept is that we try to pray our way out of it, yet the Lord wants us in that environment to experience his all-sufficient grace until eventually it becomes a tabernacle, Chris. Of course, the verse concludes that the power of Christ, my tabernacle over me. This means that eventually this all-sufficient Christ becomes like a tent, like our dwelling place, like an overshadowing grace. Eventually, in this kind of environment, we just experience and sense that Christ is there. We may not be rescued, but He's there as the overshadowing grace. What a precious Christ we have, Chris.
You know, Dennis, in Romans it says that we are to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. It strikes me this is one of the areas where we really need some renewing. This thought, honestly, is absolutely contrary to the common thought today, even the common religious thought today. I think many times we're somewhat led to believe, or maybe we lead ourselves to believe, that if we're in a suffering situation, this is some sign that the Lord has withdrawn Himself or withdrawn His blessing, is angry with us, or that we are not exercising faith.
Really so.
And we're missing out. But actually, these are the situations where we have the opportunity to have the greatest gain.
Yes.
May the Lord renew all of us the next time we find ourselves in such a situation. Instead of looking for the exit, really look for the fourth member, the fourth one to come into our fiery furnace with us. Let's go back to Witness Lee, Dennis.
Nebuchadnezzar responded, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him." Even his prayer was still according to natural thought. "Send his angel," I think he means the Son of God. That may be okay, but not deliver his servants. Therefore, he made a decree that any people, nation, or language that spoke something offensive against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego should be cut into pieces, and their houses should be made a dunghill, because there's no other God who is able to deliver in this way. Then the king caused the three young overcomers to prosper in the province of Babylon. This is the end, the result of chapter 3. A real victory. Victory over the idol worship. So God can boast to Satan, "Even in your territory, I have a people to worship me, not caring for you." What would you say? Satan would not have. God, you are the God. I hope today, in this kind of dark age, everything seemed to be discouraging. Yet, there is a group of overcomers to stand against this tide. To stand against this tide for God, to keep God's worship, testimony, and His interest on this earth going on, still as the same. The whole universe see this. At that time, the whole universe saw this. Hallelujah. There are three in front of the big image and to the face of Nebuchadnezzar. They rejected this devilish worship. This was a real victory.
Dennis, I think we both share Witness Lee's hope that today, in the midst of the darkness that envelops this age, there would be a group of people willing to stand against the tide and care for the Lord's interest on the earth. And really, that means standing, rejecting all the devilish influence that exists today. Maybe you could apply this word a little bit more for our experience before we conclude our broadcast.
Well, I agree with Brother Lee that in spite of the darkness of the age and the decline and the deterioration of the age today, the Lord still has His testimony of overcomers. And these overcomers will always stand against this dark age to be a shining, bright testimony. The Lord would not be defeated on the earth through any kind of seduction by the devil. And Chris, this just reminded me of John chapter 17, where the Lord says, "Even though the number of disciples were so small, The Lord says that he would not take these ones out of the world. They were in the world,
right,
but they were not of the world. So here we are. We are in the world. We have to do all the things that everyone does, but we are not part of the world. In fact, Chris, we don't belong to the world, and the world does not belong to us. Our life, our commission, everything related to us belongs to God. And I believe, as you and as Brother Lee has said, that the Lord will gain his testimony. In spite of all the things today, the Lord is gaining his testimony.
Of course, Dennis, we realize many of the things we talked about earlier in the context of idol worship in the society that we live in, these things are necessities for the most part. We need homes, we need cars, we need a computer, most likely. But it's really an inward condition that determines whether or not what we are engaged in is idolatrous, isn't it?
That's correct, Chris. The item itself is not wrong. It's the person that's wrong. The things on the outside is not the problem, but it's who we are inside. And that makes it difficult. We all need transportation. We all need the cars. But the vainglory of life, and mentioned 1 John 2, describes the difference. You may have a car, I may have a car, but because of the vainglory of life within, we covet these things, and this eventually could become an idol to us. The cars inherently are not the problem. It's the persons that are the problem. And so I just appreciate that in Brother Lee's ministry, Chris, that we are always led not just to a story, but always to the experience of Christ. And coming back, this whole story just reminds me of Ecclesiastes 3:11, that God has put eternity in man's heart. This means that, Chris, coming back to the story, no matter where we are, if the environment is difficult, if the environment is not difficult, if Christ is not there, it is not worthwhile to be there. Even in the midst of a fire, Christ can come and we can be fully satisfied. We may be at a place where it's just luxurious, yet if Christ is not there, it's a vain place, it's an empty place. So only if Christ comes into our situation, that place becomes a pleasant place. To me, this is a marvelous revelation and so applicable to today.
Dennis, I think a perfect spot to conclude our broadcast today. Thank you for your help and for being here. Please come back again very soon.
Yes, thank you.
And we hope you'll join us again as we continue on this life study of Daniel. Of course, we have material that we can tell you about when you call, but most often we just enjoy hearing from you and hearing your own testimony or the effect that these programs, these messages are having on you. For Dennis Agashi, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you today for listening.